Okay, Carol was scheduled for music tonight. I called her just a little while ago, and she said she wasn't going to be able to make it. My wife just told me she went to the hospital. She's got these migraines, and it's very, very bad. So pray for Carol, and we hate that she has these. All right, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 18 through 32. I want you to follow along with me. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. The Bible says there, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Lord, bless tonight. Once again, we look to your word, and we are so amazed at how your word has foreseen so many things. Once again tonight, we see in this passage how your word has prophesied some 2,000 years ago what we're experiencing today. Lord, help us as citizens of this great nation to stand firm and stand fast for what's right and true. Father, it seems like there are going to be dark days ahead for us as believers. And we pray that you just help us to, again, have courage, have faith, have strength, be unstoppable, unmovable, as the Bible would say, and stand firmly for you. You've called us to be the salt and the light to this world. Help us to be just that. Bless as we look at your word tonight and open our spiritual eyes. Father, we would pray for any that are here tonight without Christ, that they would understand their need of Christ tonight and come to him for salvation and receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Whatever happens here tonight, Lord, is up to you. We'll do our best, but ultimately we need for you to show up in great power through the power of your Holy Spirit. Pour it out upon us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Where, oh, where has America gone? I said this morning that I was going to preach, and a lot of people have said to me, I don't see America in the scriptures. You will not find the name of America, and really, you have to really stretch some things sometimes to say, well, I think this is America or that's America in prophecy. But I want you to know America is in the Bible. You say, where at? We just read about America in the Bible. Romans 1 is a perfect picture of what's been happening to our country. And tonight we're going to look at Romans 1. And we're going to see America, a picture of our country. It's heartbreaking. It's heart-rending. It's frustrating. It's irritating. It's aggravating. But it's true. And we have to deal with what's true. So I want you to look with me tonight. I thought about this. You know, America is really today a shrinking giant. America has become weak. She's become anemic. Listen, I love America, but I'm being just honest and factual. Our country is just a shadow of what she once was. America has lost her glory. No longer is her name spoken with awe and reverence and respect by the citizens of every other nation in the world. No longer is America feared as that great superpower she once was. The reality is, I hope you understand this, America has become a laughingstock, a nation seen to be inhabited not by hard-working, God-loving, patriotic, well-educated, morally upstanding people anymore. The vision of America has become tainted. America is now seen as a nation of self-indulgent, pleasure-crazed, lust-driven, lazy, cowardly, sniveling, spoiled brats. And I don't know about you, but you know, I just shake my head and I say, how in the world can this be? How could this great nation that has stood for all that was right and good and moral sink to the depths that we've sunk into? America was founded as and declared to be a Christian nation. Pastor Fedena gave you some of the quotes from some of our forefathers who were founding fathers of our country, expressing the necessity of God in our society and our dependency upon Him. We were founded as a Christian nation. The fact is, God's moral laws were once the guideline for our society. But not anymore. Now we see our government banning God from every aspect of our society that it can ban God from. Biblical morality in our culture is now attacked and treated with disdain. And just 2 weeks ago, our highest court has ruled that homosexuals have a right to be married in America. Flies in the face of Almighty God. Now let me remind you, you know, that decision by our highest court was just one of many. In the last several years, rulings that have been against Christianity and the values of the Christian in America. We who are believers shake our heads in disbelief. And we say, how in the world did we ever get here? And we say, what in the world is happening to our country? And the answer is found in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through the end of the chapter. You see, there in those verses we find the digression, if you will, the digression of man that ultimately ends in the wrath of God. You see, today America is simply reaping what she's sown. We have now, for a few generations, allowed the liberals of America, the God-haters of America, to capture the leadership positions in America. or state-run, or universities, places of higher education, we used to call them, have been taken over by the liberals, the God deniers, the freedom haters. And they've been educating our young people for a couple of generations now. And see, we've stood by and let them do it. And now we're reaping what we've sown. America's reaping what she's sown. We've allowed our country to march step by step down this pathway of degradation and right into the pathway of God's wrath. Tonight we're going to look here. We're going to see seven steps of destruction. And the fact is this, it's not just America, but any people, any person who treads these steps is going to encounter the wrath of Almighty God. He's promised it. Well, let's look at these steps. Step one, we see the refusal to acknowledge God. Look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, oftentimes people will say, well, preacher, you say that people have to know Jesus and come to Jesus to go to heaven. What about these natives maybe that haven't had a missionary come and nobody's told them about Jesus? The fact is this, they're still accountable. And they cannot get to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, when you get to heaven, tell God that. See, because he set it up. But here's what God tells us. Even though a missionary didn't go and tell them about Jesus, God has put into their heart the fact that there is something more than them. That's why we find primitive societies worshiping something. They know in their heart there is something. And then God says further, he says, not only that, but I have shown them through my creation my existence. Listen, it's a fool who says all this just happened. It's a fool who says there's no design to our world. Why, the preciseness of the activity of things going on around us must be controlled, must have been designed. We've heard the old adage, you know, to say that everything just happened through evolution and all would be like saying you could take the parts of an automobile engine and throw them all into a big box and shake them up and throw them up in the air, and what would come down would be a fine-tuned running car engine. You say, well, that's ridiculous. Just as ridiculous as evolution. See, when man looks at the creation, when man looks at the very stars of heaven, the planets above him, when man looks at the plants and the animals, man has to understand there is a God. But see, many refuse to acknowledge God. While they're born with that, they seek to worship something. Too often, men choose to crowd out God and deny that there is a God. They want to deny that there's a God in heaven who created it all. And that's where America is tonight. Our country wants to deny God. God is not allowed to be mentioned or acknowledged or prayed to or witnessed about in America in the public forum. Now, we fight the battle, but understand there have been kids in public schools that have been punished for bringing their Bible to school. They don't want God in school. I don't know how many times I've read about students who have been assigned write essays about the greatest person in your life or something you love. And they'll write something about Jesus or about the Bible, and they're told, you can't write that here. God's not allowed in our school. We want to take God out of our government. They don't want the mention of God. They don't want the Ten Commandments in the courtrooms and those kind of things. And America don't want to acknowledge God. And so the first step of digression is to deny God, and that's exactly where our country is. Listen, I remember way back in the early 60s when the battle with Madeleine Murray O'Hare How many of you remember her? Oh, some of you better study your history. I mean real history, not what they teach in the public school. She was the woman who sued, took it all the way to the Supreme Court, that you couldn't have prayer in the Bible in school. And the ruling came down. They took the Bible, they took prayer. And it's been all downhill ever since. You know, they acted like it was really going to warp a child to have something read from the Bible. And to when I went, they recited the Lord's Prayer every day. But to have that in the school, like it was going to warp your child. Listen, many of us grew up with that. If you're my age, and it didn't warp us too bad. Matter of fact, we could have used a lot more of it. Amen? Step one, denying God. Step two, to acknowledge and be thankful to God. Verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. They became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. See, when I was coming up and we were being taught in school, how God had blessed our country was a very real part of what we were taught. Now, we were taught about the hard work ethic of Americans and the patriotism of Americans who fought and died for our country. And this country was great because of a lot of the activities of man. But we're also taught that God had a great part in it. Not anymore. Not anymore. Everything about America that is great is attributed to man. We built this country. We built it on our backs. We built it on our intelligence. We built it on our hard work. Let me tell you something. If God wasn't blessing this country, we couldn't have built anything. And see, Americans don't want to give any credit to God anymore. We're a nation of self-made individuals. You know, you think about the fact that if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have rain. You ever been in a drought? Go ask California how important rain is. Yeah. See, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have rain. We wouldn't have oxygen to breathe. When I was a kid, I don't advise doing this. Of course, it's hard to do anymore. But we used to have those slide-top ice cream coolers. How many of you remember that? And when it was a real hot summer day, we'd sneak into the store and we'd open our cooler and we'd put our head in it. But when you take a deep breath, it's like there's no air in there. And it kind of... That's how it'd be if God took his hand away and didn't provide oxygen for us. God sends the rain. He sends the sunshine. Have you ever thought how miraculous, how wonderful it is that God put that sun just a perfect distance from the earth? You realize if he put it a little closer, we'd burn up? If you don't believe that, go down in Florida right now. See, they're just a little bit closer, and I'm a witness. It's a lot hotter. But just think if God just moved the earth, you know, a few hundred miles closer to the sun, we'd burn up. Literally. Well, how about if he just moved it a couple hundred miles away from the sun? I know Mrs. Meyer don't want to think about this. It'd be winter all year, every year, all the time. This planet, it'd be like, have you ever had dry ice? This planet would be like that. But see, God keeps it right where it's supposed to be. We've got the rain. We've got the sunshine. We've got the oxygen to breathe. We've got the crops to grow. And you know, it's only by his grace and mercy that we produce what we produce. But America, they don't want to acknowledge God in any of it. They just soon think, well, we did it all. Then step three, down in verse 21, it says, became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know, they became vain in their imaginations. They became vain in that all their thoughts put God out of them and put their human wisdom and all. And we see that in our society. Again, in creation, we're in the day of the evolutionist. If your children are in public education, whether it's in grade school, high school, college, anywhere they're in public education in America, they're going to have evolution crammed down their throat. And wherever they're at, they're not going to be allowed to discuss or mention creation. It's not allowed. See, this country, our educational system does not believe that there's a creator. And so in their imaginations, they come up with, if you really look at evolution, it's a fairy tale. You say, oh no, they have all the scientific facts. Show them to me. Well, they found this bone and that bone. They've never found the cross of breeds. You know, in order to have evolution at some point, there had to be crossovers from one distinct type of animal to another. There's no crossover. And, you know, they say they found the missing link, they call it, between apes and man. They've never found it. Oh, I saw in the paper they found this, and, you know, the Cro-Magnon man and this man. You know, several of those are hoaxes that people came up with and put together themselves and said, look what I found. And people believed them. And that's where our country is. Evolution. Do you understand that flies in the face of Almighty God? Listen, he created all this, and man wants to attribute it to just evolving? How about preserving his creation? God keeps it all together. In Colossians it says, and by him all things consist. Listen, if God took his hand of control and sovereignty off of his creation for just a millisecond, it would just explode. He keeps it all in operation. It's only because of him. Man tries to explain away God through their intellectualism. They come up with these ideas about the ecosystem. They come up with this Big Bang. Have you ever read about the Big Bang Theory? Do you realize it takes more faith to believe that than to believe creation? How there was nothing and all of a sudden nothing exploded? That's what they're telling you. See, they don't want to retain God in their ideas. Man comes up with all these theories. Why? To explain away God. And let me just bring this over to the Christian realm. Do you understand that in many of our so-called higher institutions of Christian education, they don't believe in creation? I'm talking about people who say we have Christian colleges. They don't believe in creation. How can you have a Christian college that don't believe in creation? But understand what's happened over the years. Liberals have gotten into Christian education, and many of them have become teachers and leaders and call themselves Christian, and they don't believe the Bible. Hello? They deny the Bible. Many of our young people being sent off to Christian, so-called Christian colleges, and they're telling them the miracles really weren't miracles. Jesus really didn't walk on that sea when he went out to that ship. He didn't do that. Peter didn't walk on water. Moses didn't, but God didn't part the Red Sea. Those are all just nice stories God gave us to encourage our faith. No, they're fact. God's the worker of miracles. And understand this. Once they admit that miracles took place, they have to admit there's a God who made them happen. They don't want to go there. You would be absolutely amazed. I'm telling you, you sit in a Bible preaching church every week and you hear Bible preaching and you hear truth and you hear belief and you hear assurance that this is true and this is right. But there are many who are going to churches, many who are being educated in so-called Christian education, who are being told the lie of the devil. It's happening. Now follow this. If you take young people and put them into a so-called Christian education system, and they go to a Christian college, and they're taught in Christian college that the miracles aren't real, and that the Bible's not true, there's mistakes in the Bible. And by the way, if there's mistakes in the Bible, where are they? You better know where they are. And if there's mistakes in the Bible, maybe Romans 10:13 is a mistake. Where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe that's a mistake. If you don't believe the Bible. See? But they're being taught. Now, here's what happens. So they come out of school, and some of these young men will become pastors. Guess what they're going to teach their people? That Bible's not true. All the stuff in here, this isn't really true. This isn't true. That's not true. Pretty soon we've undermined God in our own churches. And believe me, it's been happening in America. Nod your little head, I'm telling you. Too long we've had our heads in the sand. Step four. They change God into their own image. Verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know what that has to do with? Understand, God has revealed himself, who he is and what he is and all, in his word. But man don't want to accept God as he is. So man creates his own God. Listen, there's a lot of people today. They don't have a little idol that they go home and bow down to. And I'm not even talking about they have idols of, you know, their car or their house. I'm not even talking about that kind of creating their own God. Here's what they've done. They've decided for themselves in their mind what God should be like. They've created their own God. Let me illustrate. You talk to somebody. And you ask them, hey, if you died tonight, you know for sure you're going to heaven. Well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Well, why are you going to heaven? Because God loves me. He's going to take me to heaven. You say, well, don't you understand that the Bible says unless you're saved, you're going to go to hell? Oh, I don't believe God, a loving God, a just God, a righteous and holy God would send anybody to hell. Have you ever heard that? They've created their own God. That's not the God of the Bible. By the way, God don't send people to hell. People send themselves to hell. See? But they don't want to believe there's a hell, and they don't want to believe there's a God who's going to judge people, and he will. Great white throne judgment. Some people are going to go to heaven. Some people are going to go to hell. They don't want to believe that. And so they create their own God. Well, I don't think God is this. I don't think God is that. Listen. The only thing we know of God and the only God we can recognize and know is true and real is the one that's described in this book. I can't come up with my own God. But people do. They create a God in their own heart, in their own mind that suits them. And let me just throw this at you. That's not always the people out there. Sometimes it's right in our church. Preacher preaches and he shows you something from the Bible that God said and this is what God wants. I just don't believe that. My God wouldn't want, well, is your God a different God in this book? You go home and create your own God, what you think? Have you figured out yet it don't matter what you think? Huh? You figured that out yet? I came to that conclusion a long time ago. It don't really matter what I think. I can express it. I can think it. But it's not going to change anything that's in this book. I've told you the illustration before. You know, some people, they want to deny God. They want to deny creation and everything. You can deny truth, but it doesn't change truth. All right, let me illustrate. I say to you, there is a bridge down there that goes across the Chesapeake Bay. It's a bridge that is the Chesapeake Bay bridge tunnel. And I don't know, it's 12 miles or 18 miles or something. But you go across there on the causeway, and then all of a sudden you go under in a tunnel. And the water's all around you all the time. But you're going on top of the water sometimes, and you go under the water, and you come up, and you go on the causeway again, water on both sides, and you go under again in the tunnel, and you come back up, and there's water on both sides. Pretty soon you get to Virginia, Virginia Beach. I could tell you that's there. I've been there. So I come to you, and I say, hey, Brother Brian, there's this bridge, and I describe it to you. And Brian looks at me and says, I don't believe that for a minute. He says, there is no such bridge. And I say, yeah, it's true. It's right. It's really there. He says, no, I don't believe it. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe it. It's still true. And that's the way the Bible is. People can deny. People can say, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's it. I disagree with the Bible. But listen, friend, truth is truth. Whether you want to accept it or not. See, people today don't want a just and righteous and holy God. People today want this mamby-pamby, benevolent, grandfatherly type God that never gets upset, never pours out wrath, never chastens His children. They don't want that kind of God. They just want this mamby-pamby love. Oh, God is love. He is, but He's a lot of other things too. And you know, man's created gods have eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, mouths that cannot speak. Step 5, look at verse 25. This next step is changing the truth into a lie. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served, watch this, the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen. God has revealed His truth in this book right here. It says right here, King James Version, Holy Bible. That's God's Word. You say, well, that's not what mine says. Well, you don't have God's Word. Well, that's pretty narrow. No, that's true. God has given His Word, He's preserved His Word, He inspired His Word, and you know, if you have something that's different than the King James Bible, then you have something that's been perverted by people who translated it in a different way from a different manuscript, and you don't have the truth. So I don't like that. I'm here to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. So I'm not going to come back. God bless you. You know, do what you need to do. My job is to tell you the truth. You take any other version and compare it to the King James. Listen, here's what you're going to find. You say, well, they're all the same. Listen, two things that are different can't be the same. That's logic. If you got two things that are different, okay, ladies, I got two recipes and they're different. Can they be the same? No. I got a chocolate cake recipe here and I got a chocolate cake recipe here, but they're different. Are they going to make the same chocolate cake? No, they're going to be different. The outcome is going to be different. Listen, we have the Word of God, we have the perversions of the Word. The outcome is going to be different if you follow the perversions. You're not going to have the truth. And we've got so many on the market today. I just mentioned this morning about, these other versions of the Bible all have copyrights. Which means somebody's making money. The King James Bible, now, if you buy one of Ryrie's notes or Schofield's notes or whatever, there's going to be a copyright on the notes. Nobody owns a copyright on the King James Bible. That's why somebody just gave us, they're right up here. I don't know, there's 6 or 8 Bibles. They're King James Bibles, and they were only a couple of dollars. You know why? Because it's just the Bible. All you're paying for is the paper and you know, the labor to produce it. Sometimes you just need to follow the money. But God has revealed himself through his word, and man wants to pervert his word. You know, people don't like sections of the Bible that come against what they think and what they want to believe. And, you know, I'll just lay it out for you. The homosexual crowd don't like sections of the Bible that says God says that's an abomination. So they try to take those out. They try to soften those. There's a bunch who don't like the deity of Christ. So they change verses. Listen, there's a bunch who don't like the fact that we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you'll watch these other Bibles, some of them have removed the blood of Christ out of the Bible. I didn't know all that. Maybe I'll do a little homework. But listen, right now, there's an attack on this book. And I've said many times, you know, if the devil came up to us and said, hey, I'm going to take your Bible away from you, boy, we'd fight. You'd roll up your sleeves. You said, you're not taking my Bible. You think the devil's some dummy? Very subtle. He comes and he says, hey, I'll trade your Bibles. I got one that's easier to read. I got one that took, you know, all those these and thous that you can't understand, that a third grade student in school can understand. I took all those out for you. And he takes away the word of God and he gives you a perversion. People fall for it. It's where we are. And listen, when you lose the word of God, you lose the power of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Step 6 is in verse 25. Worshipping the creature more than the creator. Now, God intended, when God created man, that man would worship him. You agree with that? That was the reason for the creation. But man has perverted that. God intended man to worship and serve the Creator and give him the priority. But now man worships the creature more than the Creator. Have you noticed the worship of creatures? You see what he's talking about. You notice how people are so concerned about the polar bears and the baby seals, but they're not concerned about the souls of men? Have you noticed how we're worshiping the creature, the body? Have you noticed how important the body is in America anymore? Here's a challenge, and by the way, you might belong, but here's a challenge. Just ride by, what's this gym down here? LA Fitness. Ride by there any time, day or night, and see how many cars are in the parking lot. What are people doing there? Working on the body. See, because in America nowadays, the body is so important. And people, that's why people want to show off the body. Boy, it really got quiet there. See, what's the point of having this wonderful body if you're not going to display it? Huh? Ladies, if you've got that hourglass figure, you sure don't want to cover it up. I worked hard to get this thing. Man, I want people to notice me. By the way, guys, you're not much different. Want everybody to see? I'm going to wear one of those muscle man shirts where everybody can see my pecs, my abs, huh? And you go to the restaurant and they reach for the salt shaker and they go, worshiping the creature more than the Creator. It's all, listen, in America today, it's all about looks. Botox. Gal's got to, you know, take the wrinkles out here and take the wrinkles out. I got to look. Listen, face it, you're going to get old. It's going to happen. Now, you can choose to get old graciously, or you can be a Dick Clark and have 27 facelifts. But you're going to get old. But we're so concerned with this body. You ever notice the ads on television? What does a shapely woman hanging all over a car have to do with buying a car? Huh? The body. We're worshiping the creature, not the Creator. And let me just throw this at you. God didn't give us bodies to display them. Nod your head. See, if you'll remember, when Adam and Eve were in the garden and they sinned, they covered themselves with fig leaves. Now, we figured out that's tough to cover a lot with fig leaves. And God came along and killed an animal and clothed them to cover their nakedness. Question, gals. Did God cover them in spandex? You think God said, Eve, come here, I got a pair of stretch jeans for you? I don't think so. Worshiping the creature more than the Creator. Our country is more concerned about the body, more concerned about the forest, more concerned about the baby seal, more concerned about the trees, you know, the tree huggers and everything else in the world, and they don't give a hoot about God. They're all about the environment today. I'll be real honest with you. I'm not an environmentalist. Now, I think we ought to take care of our environment to a degree. I'm glad the rivers are cleaned up. How many of you remember when the rivers weren't cleaned up? Yeah. I remember very vividly. We used to swim in the river. How many of you ever swam in the river? And it wasn't cleaned up. I'm glad for some of the things we've done, but I think there's an overemphasis on the environment. Hey, you be where you want to be. I am not of the green movement. I hate these new light bulbs. I do. I absolutely hate them. I was so upset a few weeks ago, I went to Home Depot to buy light bulbs. All I wanted was a plain, ordinary, everyday, 100-watt, screw-in-the-socket light bulb. They don't sell them. I said, you got to be kidding me. I can't buy just a light bulb. No, you got to have this quartz thing or this thing or that. I don't want that thing. I just want a light bulb. See, the green movement said you can't do that. You got to have this real special bulb that, I don't know if you're aware of this, if you break it in your home, you've created a biohazard. You just dump mercury all over your house. So there we are. But see, these are things we need to understand. These are things we need to be aware of. The man is worshiping the creation. And these environmentalists, that's exactly what they're up to. Not concerned about God, they're concerned about... Listen, I said I'm not an environmentalist. You may be. But the reason I'm not is this. This world isn't going to last forever. See, these people that are these hyper-environmentalists, they're the understanding we've got to preserve the earth. I got news for you. It's going to be destroyed. It's going to burn up. Now figure this out. How many thousands of years has this world been here and it's still going? Well, anyway. Last step, 26:27. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I don't have to expound on that, do I? We adults in here, we understand that, don't we? Okay, I'm assuming you understand what that's talking about. Then look at the next verse. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I see, listen, I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate them. I hate what they do. I hate what they stand for. I hate that they're trying to push their beliefs down my throat. I don't hate the people. But I want you to understand something about what's going on in that realm. Maybe you've asked the same thing or felt the same thing I did. How in the world can they get involved in that? To me, it's distasteful. Why would they want to? God says it's not natural, and I don't need a biology lesson for you to figure out. It's not convenient. Why would they want to? God will let man do what man wants to do. And when he refuses to listen to God, God will do what he said here he's done with these folks and give them over to a reprobate mind. Basically, here's what that's referring to. No more conviction. No more conviction in their heart that this is wrong and I shouldn't be doing this. And no, it becomes convenient for them. But you see, God has given them over to a reprobate mind. Figure this out. If there's no conviction, that person can never get saved. See? So, now listen, I didn't say a homosexual can never get saved. What I'm saying is this, if they persist in that, and if they refuse to come to the truth and the knowledge of God and want to practice that, God will give them over to it. Listen, it's like any other sin. God says, well, if that's what you really want, have it your way. And this particular sin is obviously especially heinous to God. Because, again, it flies in his face of what he has designed. See, friend, we're back to truth is truth. God established marriage way back in the Garden of Eden. And marriage is one woman, one man for life. God did that. Now, man comes along and says, well, I don't agree with that. You know, we ought to have polygamy. We ought to have homosexuality. We ought to have this. Doesn't matter. Man can say whatever he wants, do whatever he wants. It doesn't change the truth of God. And a marriage, according to God, is one man, one woman for life. That's how God established it. But see, man don't want to surrender to that. The Bible tells us God created a male and a female, Adam and Eve. He created them for one another. He created them with a purpose. What was their purpose? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Listen, God instituted marriage so there could be a family. And the family is to replenish the earth. Again, I don't need a biology lesson here, but two homosexuals can't multiply. I said this to somebody today. If there were only homosexuals in the world and they all got married, They would disappear in two generations. Because they can't reproduce. Figure that one out. By the way, that's another reason you better be careful. They can't reproduce, so they have to recruit. And see, that's what they're up to now. They're telling our children, you know, the communists had the idea, they were very good at it, go after the kids. You're not going to change the adults' minds, but you can form and formulate and affect the children's minds. Go after the kids. And that's exactly what these people have done. They've gone after our kids, and this younger generation has been brought up to believe it's okay, you know, it's love, they can do whatever they want, blah, 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 and they pushed all that into these mush heads, they bought into it, and now we got a generation coming up that sees nothing wrong with it. That's where we are. Talk to the younger generation. Ask them, hey, do you see any problem? No, whatever two people want to do, it's up to them. Long as two people love one another, listen, love is not the basis of it. No. What God said is God's truth. Our young people are being robbed of that. And as I said, we've got a generation, and we got another one on the way. See, nothing wrong with it. Listen, if that would have happened back when I was a kid, we would have had a revolution in America. I'm telling you, we had enough Christians and people who believed God's word was true and that a homosexuality was wrong. If that Supreme Court would have said that back when I was a kid, there would have been a revolution in America. He would have stood up and said, we're not standing for this. You don't hear it today. See, because we bought into it. And let me share this with you. Homosexuals weren't born that way. I'm not picking on people of color. But if a person is born Oriental or African or whatever, they can't change that. I mean, you know, we had a woman over there in California, I think it was, who claimed she was Caucasian. She claimed to be African descent. But wasn't true. Didn't change her. We need to understand that if a homosexual was born that way, they could never change. You agree?
Yes.
If that's something that's born into a homosexual, they could never turn from that and become heterosexual. But it happens all the time. Amen. That idea of them being born that way, that's just the liberals trying to justify in some way that kind of behavior. No, that's a learned behavior. It's a chosen behavior. But I said they're working on a younger generation to indoctrinate them and to recruit them. How many of you grew up and you were taught that homosexuality was wrong? Okay, so now watch. We all come to that age as we're growing up where we're trying to discover ourselves. You know what I'm talking about? Figure out what we are in life. Okay, when I was coming up, I'm trying to figure out who I am, what I am, you know, all these kind of things. And you know, you get into those teen years and your hormones and everything are just... And so when the idea of homosexuality came at me, I said, no! Are you with me? By the way, it'll come at you. Thoughts enter your mind. Not that you want that, but you know it's there. But you say, no, not me. That's wrong. But how about today? When young people get to that age and they're starting to question and nobody has told them it's wrong, but they told them it's okay. If you want to go that way, it's okay. So they're going to be apt to experiment and be pulled into those things? Hey, I'm telling you, I found America in the Bible. Here she is. This is right where we are. We've gone down that road. You know, God created man, He created woman. And God put into man the desire for woman, and He put into woman the desire for man. That's a natural desire. By the way, when I deal with young people and they say, you know, I'm struggling with this thing. You know, I like looking at girls. I say, that's good. I'd rather you like looking at girls than looking at boys. Huh? God created that. He did not create man to have a natural affection for that kind of relationship with another man. Or a woman to want that kind of relationship with another woman. That's straight out of the pit of hell. That was never God's plan. And it will never be right. Supreme Court can say, hey, it's right. Washington, the senators, representatives and our president and the court and everybody down there, they can say, hey, it's good, it's right. But don't change the fact it's wrong. But America's gone right down that road. Put God out of everything. Worship the creature more than the creator. Deny the creator, the one who created it all it is, and deny that he even exists. You say, well, preacher, that's not very good news. No, it isn't. But in another way, it is. I preached a couple of weeks ago about, don't be all dismayed about all this, because it just says, he's coming soon. You know, we look around, we say, how much longer can it go? Listen, the world's getting nuts. There are no rules anymore for anybody. There are no standards. No, the world's getting nuts. How much longer can it go? So don't get discouraged about it. I'm just trying to show you where America is. We're in the Bible. We've gone down this road. But God said, and even Paul says, look here. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, and we could read all that, and it sounds like just like the day we're in. And over in 2 Timothy 3, he says, in the end times, perilous times will come. I believe that's what we're in. But don't get discouraged. You know, the one thing that really upsets me about the direction of our country is I keep thinking about my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids. And I keep thinking, what kind of an America are they going to grow up in? I don't know that I'm thinking that way anymore. Because I'm wondering if there'll be an America for them to grow up in. Because I'm thinking, he's coming back before that ever happens. I just don't think it'll be long. And we'll get out of this mess. Amen? And we'll go home to glory, and we'll be up there 7 years just fellowshipping and having a marriage supper of the Lamb and being with Jesus and all that wrath that God's going to be poured out down here. We're not even going to be paying attention to it. We're just going to be so absorbed in heaven. So don't get discouraged. I just want you to know where we are and understand. It's all part of God's timetable. And we're getting down to the end. If you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have to believe His Word. And He said, there's coming an end. It's not going to be forever. All right? So I don't want to leave you out of here tonight on a down note. Oh, it's so terrible. Yeah, it's bad, but it's been bad before. This didn't just start yesterday. But it's accelerated. One more thing, and then I'm going to have prayer. How many of you grew up where your bathtub had a plastic stopper? Huh? See, this younger generation don't know anything. They never knew a bathtub that you actually had to pull the stopper out. You know, they step on them or they flip the little handle. Hey! We had a stopper. You put it in there and you pulled it out. You got done your bath and mom said, let the water out. So you pulled the plug. You ever stand there and watch it? It's going, but actually you can't even tell it's going. And then you look at the side and you see your ring. And the water's below it. So you say, well, it must be running out. But then you watch. As it gets down towards the end, you start seeing this. And the more it gets towards the end, the faster it gets. Until that last little bit goes. Listen, the stopper's been pulled and it's been draining for a long time and we're getting down to the end. And the closer we get, the faster it's going. So don't get discouraged, because in just a little while it's going to go. We're gone. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you.